This is my earnestly contending letter for June 2020. I've titled it Biblical Authority, Last Things. Critics tend to attack both what the Bible says about beginnings and what it says about last things. Brian Thomas with ICR writes, quote, "A recent survey showed that the most persuasive argument for evolution comes from the iconic drawing of the apes to man parade," end quote. Now, that is a major form of scientific evidence. Not. In truth, evolution is so bankrupt, it's hard to believe intelligent people still believe it. It just goes to show you the depth of human depravity and that unbelief is more about rebellion than anything else. In like manner, scoffers absolutely ridicule the idea of a second coming. In spite of Israel being back in the land of promise and thus serving as a last day's super sign, mockers hold in disdain those who would dare to hold to a literal understanding of last day's prophecy. 2 Peter 3:3-4 says, "Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation." Even many evangelical scholars, in quotes, openly attack the idea of a literal normal treatment of prophecy. Never mind that essentially all the prophecies related to Christ's first coming were fulfilled literally. Why in the world would we think the second coming prophecies would not be? Thomas Ice says allegorical interpreters think they are deep thinkers and see more than is actually in the text. That's the problem. They see more than is in the text. I believe the trend among evangelical scholars is to create an alternate authority base outside the Bible. They then use what amounts to an alternate authority base as a basis for attacking the literal meaning of Scripture, especially as it relates to beginnings and the future. End quote. That's Thomas Ice. Note, especially as it relates to beginnings and the future. These all alternative authorities are such things as so-called science, archaeology, history, or other sources of extra-biblical authority. They then appeal to the wisdom of man to actually believe the premises of the alternate authorities, and in so doing undermine the straightforward teaching of Scripture. Background material has its place, but it never speaks with authority. The Bible alone stands as the authority on beginnings and last things. John MacArthur writes, "Does the end matter? Does it matter to God? Should it matter to us? I think it matters to God. I think it is the whole point of history. History is headed to a divinely designed and revealed end. And if it matters enough to God to reveal it, it should matter enough to us to understand the revelation of it. Did not God fill Scripture with end time prophecies? Did God, in this significant volume of Revelation, somehow muddle his words so hopelessly that the high ground for theologians is simply to recognize the muddle and abandon any thought of the perspicuity of Scripture with regard to eschatology? Is it in fact working hard to understand prophetic passages needless and impossible because they require a spiritualized or allegorized set of interpretations that says the truth is somehow hidden behind the normal meaning of the words, so any idea of what it might mean is as good as any other idea of what it might mean, since it doesn't mean what it says? We don't want anyone tampering with the beginning. Why are we so tolerant of people tampering with the end?" So says John MacArthur. I couldn't agree more. Thought, if the Bible can't be trusted with the beginning or the end, where can it be trusted? Earnestly contending, Pastor Dwight J. Oswald.